Good morning, everyone. Happy Lunar New Year to everyone here. Before we get started, I just wanted to make a quick note. If you look at your bulletins, I don't know how, you know, meticulously or how detail-oriented everyone is here, but you see a little bit of a change in some of the things that are written on the bulletin. If you look at the very top of the bulletin, right under the CCC graphic, it says, to seek God's vision. The reason it says seek God's vision is because in the year 2020, you know, when we started off the year, I said, I want us to have a clear vision for our church, but also for our own lives. Not seeking to do what we would want to do, what we would most prefer, what would be perhaps in our minds the best course of action for our own gain, but to seek God's vision, what it is that He would have for each of us, again, as individuals, but also as a family in Christ, as a church. And if you open up your bulletin at the top, there is a Bible passage from Proverbs chapter 3. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And so this theme that I want for us to have as an English ministry, English congregation this year, about seeking God's vision, it's in line with this verse that says, again, to trust not in yourself, not in your circumstances, not in your best friend or even family above first, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And when it says, do not lean on your own understanding, there's a reality that this also means that we are not making decisions, we are not choosing to do things, we are not planning for our lives apart from the understanding that God gives us according to His Word. So I want for us as a church to be growing as men and women of God, as children of God, who learn to follow Him, to trust in Him, and in all the things that we're learning every week as we go through different passages of the Bible. It is the Lord, God, giving to us His understanding of how our lives ought to be, of what we ought to be living our lives for. And we've seen that very clearly as we've been going through the book of James. And we're actually in the final chapter now, in chapter 5. And, you know, the last place where we left off in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, we saw that James was calling out people who don't know the Lord, who are rich according to the eyes of the world, but those who in the way that they lived were oppressing those who were in need. We're actually holding down people, hurting and harming people, all for the sake of their own benefit. So it was a call to repentance for those who were living richly and lavishly at the cost of others, but at the same time, it was a very stark warning for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ that we don't get wrapped up in living in the way of the world's understanding, of our own selfish gain, of our own personal view of how we ought to live or what we ought to achieve or what we ought to gain for ourselves. And so we were taught to set our hearts not on the things of this world that fade away, but in fact to set our hearts on eternity, on our relationship with God and the things that last forever. In the passage that we're going to go through today, we see now James shift his focus back in addressing his fellow brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, who have a relationship with God, and he urges them, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of oppression, even in the midst of horrible things happening to them, unfair, unrighteous things happening against them, that they would be patient and that they would trust in God according to His Word. Trust in God according to His promises. And so that's where we're at now in James chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 7 through 9 together. Let's look at the Word of God. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. Yet also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Let's pray together. God, we thank you again for your word. Would you illuminate this word right now? Give us the eyes to see your truth. Give us the hearts to receive it fully and deeply, so that God, through your word that is living and active, that there will be change that happens in our hearts. That we would not just be listeners of the word or readers of the word, but God, as you call us, that we would be doers of the word. Give us hearts that are set upon you, so that as we live life, we can learn to trust in you more and more. And that as we will go through today, God, I pray that you would help us to see what it means to have true patience in you. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know I talk about this every week, but it's because it feels so imminent. But, you know, we're expecting a little girl anytime. It could be any time within the next few weeks, really. But the schedule now, it actually moved from February 12th to the 13th. To have a C-section then, because that's what the doctors are saying is probably the safest route. But anyhow, our family, while it's me, Esther, and Caleb, at least out here in the world until baby comes out, we've been trying to do some more activities and do some family outings together before the baby arrives, because obviously when the baby comes, there's going to be a lot more need to focus on the baby, make sure everything is going okay. And, we're going to do our best to love on Caleb and let him know that he's still a valued member of the family and that we love him very deeply. And we'll probably have to go out of our way to really show him that extra attention so he doesn't feel, that little sister is kind of taking all the spotlight. But we set out for a day of fun, a day of adventure. Yesterday, actually, they held this thing at the Dulles Expo Center, and it was this thing called Jurassic Quest. And it was basically, it's a big setup of a lot of different big animatronic dinosaurs and a lot of things that they advertise. You can ride and, have fossils to take home and all different kinds of things. And so we found a really good deal, online, and so we set out for this Jurassic Quest. And overall, it was a really fun day. We got to see a bunch of huge animatronic dinosaurs that moved. He got to touch a baby dinosaur. And it was actually it was a little bit funny because really it's a guy with it's a really fancy, basically hand puppet kind of thing. It looks very good, but they have this kind of extra attachment to make it look like there's a real arm holding the dinosaur while the real arm's hidden underneath. You guys know what I'm saying? So it kind of looks like this guy coming out with an arm that looks like this and his real arm's inside the dinosaur. Anyway, it looked pretty good. So, Caleb had a lot of fun and we're like, wow, you got to touch a baby dinosaur. And, there were some bouncy houses and a lot of different things that were there, just to entertain the kids. And so it was a lot of fun, overall, very good time, especially since Caleb really enjoyed it. What am I rambling on about here? Let's get to the last thing that we did before we left this Jurassic Quest. So there was this really cool ride for kids where basically it was just kind of like a fenced-off circle. And they had these Jeeps that little kids who obviously can't drive, on the streets, but they could drive these little Jeeps around. And it was really cool, and there was a line really all the way around the fence. And we just happened to, get there, I guess, at the time where we're literally kind of starting at the end of the circle. And, we expected that there would be some kind of rhyme or reason to the amount of time that each kid got to ride. But as we waited there in line, I'll have to tell you, we're talking about patience today, right? We were waiting, but in my heart, there was definitely some, grumbling going on. Maybe it was my stomach. No, my heart, right? There was some grumbling going on because it was just taking far longer than it had to. I mean, and I would just kind of watch inside the circle because we're just literally on this fenced out area and we're just slowly making our way. And so I would kind of concentrate and I would look at one kid and be like, man, he's been in there for like 15 minutes, just cruising around and around. And the workers are just kind of standing there and they're just kind of like, you know, laid back, just relaxing. And there really was no system. It wasn't like 5 minutes per kid, 10 times around. It was nothing like that. And so literally we were just kind of made to wait and wait and wait. And as we stood there, you know, I looked around at the other parents and kind of like, you know, we'd make eye contact and almost like non-verbally we'd be in agreement, like the line, you know, like total agreement. And we'd wait a little bit more, and then we'd look around, you know, I'd look around again and I'd see some parents just no longer agreeing, but just starting to lose hope. Lose hope that their child would ever get to this amazing circle of Jeeps that really is just like four or five power wheels that they just keep charged, you know, probably from the 90s, okay? And they started dropping out. Some families literally ahead of us were like, this is just taking too long. And they would lose hope and they'd hop out of the line and, you know, of course the kids are disappointed. Look behind us. There would be people, oh, you weren't standing there before. Well, that's because the people in front of them had stepped out as well because the wait was just so long. And again, in my heart, I was there waiting, but what does it mean to have real patience? Right? Patience isn't just waiting and waiting. It's a heart matter. It's a heart issue. But with that being said, you know, I was still there, so, you know, to my credit at least, right? And I have to tell you the truth. I got a little bit weak at one point. I just looked at Caleb and said, Caleb, do you still really want to drive the car? And it's amazing because we waited for a long time, and Caleb, he just stuck through it, and he looked up at me and he was like, yeah, I get to drive a car. So how can I be like, no, we're going to go, right? So we waited all the way, and as we got closer, you know, I started looking at the cars, and some were faster than others. Some were starting to lose some battery because the kid before had gone on for 15 minutes when it should have only been like 5 minutes. And so at least in that, I was like, okay, at least, Caleb, let me try to secure you one of the fast ones. And finally, you know, we got out there, but it wasn't really under my control because whatever kid gets off, then that's the next available thing. And lo and behold, by the time Caleb got up there, he got one of the slow ones. You guys laugh, but this was very painful. We waited a long time. But Caleb got in, and I showed him, you got to press the pedal. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really know how to steer, so you just think you drive like this. So I had to kind of steer and help him, you know, go around so he's not just running into the fence over and over. But the smile on his face, he absolutely loved it. He was having an awesome time. And, you know, I put up a story on my Instagram and put hashtag worth. But, you know, in my heart, really, I was just kind of like, I'm just happy that he really enjoyed it. You know, because if we had gotten there and then he had gotten onto that car and said, this is it, I would have been like, oh my goodness. But again, I share this because being patient isn't easy. Especially nowadays, I mean, being patient is almost like, well, hey, that's a thing of the past. We have technology now, you know, we have Amazon Prime and then Amazon Prime Now and like all sorts of things. It's, you order something, it's at your door. We're almost taught that like patience is something for fools. If you're not a fool, you're going to get right away what you want right away. And that's kind of how we're taught. And that's kind of how we're starting to be geared, I think, this, especially the younger generations. They're even at the fingertips, what they have now with tablets and all kinds of things where they can just hop on and see this video or that video. You don't have to push in a VCR and then take it out and rewind it and all these things. So the culture, the world tells us and almost kind of makes patience. It's not really much of virtue anymore because if you have the means, you can just kind of get what you want when you want it. But I share about this story because, yes, in my heart, there was grumbling. And there's something to going through something and waiting for something, I think, that is of value. And even though Caleb got a slow car, and it did take a long time, and really all that it is, you know, a bunch of power wheels in the middle of a circle, I started thinking about what patience looks like for us as believers in this life that we live. And I wonder if sometimes we live our lives and we feel like we're kind of just in that line, you know? Like life is just that line, and it's just like, when is it going to come? When is my time going to come? When are these good things going to happen? How long do I have to wait? And our hearts start to grumble. We start to have complaints in our hearts. But God wants for us to know who He is. And not only that, He wants to remind us that what we have to look forward to is not even here in this temporary space. But as we talked about last time, that as we set our hearts on eternity, for us who are believers of Jesus Christ, it's more than just a 10-minute ride on a power wheel. It's more than anything that we could ever think that we'd wait for here on earth. We know as believers that we await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, man, that's weak. Amen? We got to be excited about that. We got to see that we as believers, yes, it might feel like we're in this long line and then we just try to get to the end, but there's something great that God has already promised us and established for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We experience joy, true joy, eternal joy together with God forever. And so we need to learn how to be patient in the Lord. And it doesn't mean just waiting and waiting and waiting. But there's three things that I want to talk about that are going to help us to be reminded of patience that we ought to have in the Lord. And this is the first thing. Know the source of true patience. Know the source of true patience. Second thing is going to be this. Be active. Be active in patience. And the last thing is this. Know what you're being patient for. Know what you're being patient for. So know the source of true patience. That's point number one. And we're going to look at verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. So we remember now James, when he says, brothers, he's saying, those of you who have professed to be believers of Jesus Christ, I'm talking to you, be patient until what? Be patient until the coming of the Lord. And James is trying to encourage these believers who are starting to perhaps lose hope as they're being oppressed by the rich, as they're going through difficult times, experiencing trials in life. James says, be patient. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word patient is defined as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Now again, outwardly it is possible to wait and bear with something until you get to the end. But what does it mean to bear with something without complaint in your heart? Is that possible for you to do on your own strength? Is it possible for you to do by just saying, I need to be more patient. I'm going to practice being more patient. I have to tell you right now, I say the Bible tells us it is not actually possible. Because true patience, the source of patience, is not from within. It's not from believing in ourselves that we can become more patient somehow. But true patience comes from the source that is God, who is love. And love is patient. Love is kind. And it is through a relationship with God alone that our inside, our hearts, can be changed so that we can be truly patient. You know, sometimes I don't know. You know, I have non-Christian friends who've gone through very difficult things. And sometimes I wonder how apart from Christ, were you able to push on? And a lot of times it's just kind of, it's pushing on. It's saying, well, I learned from this and I move on. But what is the reality of bearing with pain, going through hardship in a way with no complaint in your heart? Is it possible? And I say, with ourselves, it is not possible. But with God, it is. And again, why is that? Why is it that our hearts are so prone to complaint? Why is it that our hearts are so prone to grumbling? Because in its natural state, our hearts want what we want. Just like we talked about, why is it hard to be patient? When you want something, you want it now. It's hard to wait when we want something. It's hard to wait when we're expecting something. But true patience, again, if we know that the source is God and it's our relationship with Him that gives us true patience, then it does flip things, it switches things, because when you don't know God, then everything really is about what you can get when you want it, as soon as you want it. But when we have a relationship with God, the source of true patience comes because we start realizing again that it's not all about what we want when we want. But there's a trust that says, God, what you want when you want for me in my life. And so what's there to complain about or grumble about if you're truly trusting in the source of true patience? When you trust that He's going to give you all good things in His timing. That whatever's happening in life, even if it doesn't feel like, even if it's the most excruciating thing that you can go through, trusting that God in that is with you, that in that God is teaching you how to trust in Him more, how to grow in your patience, not just waiting out time and getting through something, but there's something happening in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulty, where your heart is changing to surrender and trust in the one who can give you true patience. It becomes not about what you want, what you're trying to get for yourself, and about what God wants for your life. There's a story of a man who was on his way to work, and you know, he had a big project presentation that he had to give, and he worked all night on, and his career really kind of depended on making it and going and giving his presentation. So he hopped in his car and he was off to the races. And of course, he had to go faster than probably what the speed limit is supposed to allow. And along the road, he came up behind a car with a dreaded sign on the back of that car. You know what it said? It said, student driver. So here he is, late for work, his presentation, his career really on the line, and here is this student driver in front of him. He just had to get to that presentation. He had to get to work. Everything boiled down to this. And so what did he do? Well, he did the only thing he thought he could do. He drove as fast as he could and as close to that student driver as possible. He laid on the horn, honk, 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 and he flashed his brights to let him know, hey, you got to move out of the way. You got to do something. I got to go to this presentation. And as he was in the midst of doing that, consumed by his need, his desire to get to his workplace, a car pulled up behind him with lights of its own. And it had another sign on the car, and it didn't say student driver. It said police. And so as he got pulled over, it took more time actually than it would have just to follow along behind that student driver as he had to wait for the police officer to come and address him and hand him a ticket. And so why do I share that? Well, we just talked about the source of true patience being from God. Too often, like the driver, we allow circumstances to determine how patient we are. If we think we have enough time or things are kind of going according to how we have planned, then, oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm very patient. But when things aren't going the way that you're trying to do, or things aren't coming in the time that you would like, that's the true test of if you have true patience. You see, this man, he didn't care about this student driver. He didn't stop and think, What would this feel like for this student driver to have a car drive up behind it like a maniac, flashing its brights and honking? He didn't care. He didn't care about anyone else, anything else. All he could care about was getting to the presentation for his career, for his gain, whatever it might be. And that's the reality of patience at times. Patience that only comes when things are going okay is not actually true patience at all. True patience comes from the source, God Himself. And when you have a trust in God, a surrender in God, then your patience is not, I'm just waiting until I get what I want. But in all things, no matter how long it takes, how short it takes, I want to do what glorifies God. I want to do what God wants me to do, how He wants me to live, how He wants me to act, how He wants me to make decisions, speak, do what I need to do in life, all for God. Otherwise, everything becomes an obstacle. Just an obstacle to what we want to get for ourselves. But again, true patience, know the source of true patience. Know God. Especially as James addresses the brothers, as believers of Jesus Christ, we must know God. And if we know God, we know true patience. The Bible, when describing love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, it begins by saying that true love that is given by God is patient. We also know the fruit of the Spirit, that patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. That if you are a brother or sister in Christ, if you are a child of God, then indeed the source will give it to you in abundance, because what He gives to you is His love. And in His love, you grow to understand what it means to be, again, truly patient in Him. So are you living with true patience in the Lord? I see many people who become very good at hiding outward frustration. They can learn to put a smile on their face as they await what they really want. They might grumble in their hearts, but outwardly, oh yeah, I'm doing fine. Everything is great. You know, I kind of think about myself in the line. You know, I mean, not everyone there knows I'm a pastor or a Christian, perhaps, just by, you know, by seeing me. I think about that. You know, like, what am I presenting? What do people see? And so I say, Lord, help me to have a real smile as I wait. Help me to not grumble. Help me, even in this, what someone might think is a minor thing, help me to shine your light. Help me to trust in You. Help me to know You in this moment right now. You are the source of true patience. So let me draw from You, God. Give me Your love, that I would love on those around me and my son, my family. And God will do that. We have to know that He's the source, and we have to go to Him and ask Him for that kind of true patience. Second point is this: be active in patience. Be active in patience. In verse 7, it says this: be patient, therefore, brothers, until, again, the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Now, there's an interesting thing about patience in the Lord, that it cannot be separate from trusting in the Lord. Like, you can't just be patient for being patient's sake. Being patient as a believer, it has a direct tie to your understanding of God, so that in no matter what it is that you're doing, that there's a real, genuine, authentic trust in a relationship between you and God. And so we see James here talk about an agrarian lifestyle, which many of the readers would understand. And so he talks about farming. And as he talks about farming, it's giving us a small picture into what it might look like to trust in God and to be patient with God and patient for what God has for us. But not just waiting around and kind of twiddling our thumbs and saying, okay, well, whatever happens, happens. God's going to give it. But we're active in the midst of our patience. So what does that look like for a farmer? A farmer knows That he can't just go out into a field and throw seeds everywhere and then sit down, plop his butt down on that grass and say, okay, where are the crops? He can't just throw seeds out around on hard soil and all kinds of soil and just kind of sit down and say, oh my gosh, it's been 2 hours. What's happening? There's nothing there. What does a farmer know to do? He knows that there is work to be done in order to produce a crop. He knows that he has to till the soil. He knows that he has to lay the seed down, but he also knows that he needs water. He's going to do everything that he can to give the seeds what it needs to actually grow and produce fruit. And we see in these verses that actually the farmer in those times, they didn't have all the technologies perhaps that we have now. And so there was a real trust for the farmer to say, I'm depending on God to make it rain. I'm depending on God to give water to these crops so that they will grow and produce fruit and produce a harvest. Imagine if a farmer were to just do that, just sprinkle seeds and then just sit down and say, well, I'm waiting, I'm being patient. Perhaps even if he waited there for a whole day, would that show patience? What would that show? You see, a heart that knows God, a heart that knows that the true source of true patience is also one that will be active in the midst of patience. I think it's kind of like that in our lives and perhaps something that we're waiting on, but even in ourselves, you know, oftentimes we want to grow. Maybe for those of us who are in the church too, we kind of make markers about how we're doing spiritually and, you know, we say, man, am I still so impatient? Do I still get so angry so easily? Do I still struggle with this? And we kind of expect almost that, you know, if I just kind of, well, I've been a Christian for 10 years now, shouldn't I be much more mature? Shouldn't I be producing much more fruit in my life? And God says, no, 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 that's not how it works. Yes, I'm moving in you. Yes, I'm working in your life, but you have to be active in the midst of patience. As you await the coming of the Lord, don't just sit there and expect things to come to you. Go out and be living in a way that reflects God's love, but also helps you to grow in your trust and understanding of Him. And how do we do that? How do we be active in the midst of patience? What we're doing right now. We're leaning on God's understanding. We're leaning on His truth. We're learning about His promises. That's a big part of being active and patient, is to engage the active and living Word of God. So I hope that this isn't the only time on a given week that you are engaging in Scripture. Prayer. I've preached on prayer many times. Prayer is an essential part of our relationship with God. It's essential. It's not just something that we can choose to do or not to do, but I promise you, if you are not praying in your life, if you're not praying and communicating with God, you're going to be lacking in patience. Why? Because He's the source. As you get to know Him more deeply, as you go to Him again and again, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of oppression, even in the midst of the mundaneness of life, when maybe things aren't going really bad or really well, learning how to go to God, being active in patience, is a great part of your growth in the Lord and your maturity as a believer of God. So don't just sit around expecting things to come. Be active. Seek the Lord. Seek God's vision. That's a theme. Seek God's vision. Seek His will. Go to Him. Say, God, what would you have me do? What is it that you want me to do in my life? Is there an area that you're calling me to obey you that I haven't been obedient? Is there another field that you want me to consider with my career, with what I'm going to do with my life? Is there a sin that I've kept very well hidden on the outside from other people, but God, you see it, you know it. And maybe He's calling you to repent and and start being active in your patience on waiting in the Lord and not just saying, well, I have God's grace. Well, that's true, but that grace ought to change you and move you so that you are being active forward in your growth in the Lord. So be patient. Yes, true patience, love. No more purpose just for yourself, but for God. And what that means is you're going to be active for the Lord. You're going to be active in seeking Him out in His word, in prayer, in community, in fellowship together. So let's learn how to do that. Be a part of a fellowship. Find a community of believers. Become a part of that and grow together. Last thing is this. Know what you're being patient for. Know what you're being patient for. You know, some people, and I've heard this before, they say, I want to be patient because it's a good thing. It's a virtue, right? Patience is a virtue. And they just kind of think about patience and love and kindness and all these different things as this is just something that will make me a better person, therefore I want that. You know, a lot of people live like that. I just want to kind of progress. I want to be a better person. I want to be a you know, make more of a positive impact around the people around me. And these are all good things. But again, they cannot come from anywhere but the one true source. True love, true patience, it is a heart matter, a heart issue, and you and I cannot change our own hearts. We can practice behavior until we get good at showing something, but in our hearts, we cannot change it on our own. So even as we're being active, like I was saying, you're actually actively surrendering, you're actively repenting because you need God to change what's in here. But know what you're being patient for. What's the point of maturing in the Lord? What's the point of being not about yourself and being all for God? It's because we know what's in line for us. I mean, I said in the very beginning of the message, God has secured something for us that is amazing. It's eternity, glory with Him forever. We escape condemnation because Christ has bought us with His blood. He on the cross died on our behalf, the death that we deserved. And then He rose again, defeating death and our sin. And so what do we have to look forward to? We have everything, eternal glory, peace with God forever to look forward to. Look what it says in verse 8. You also be patient, establish your hearts. You see, it's a heart matter. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. And we said, we already admitted that life is a mist, so we don't know when our time, even on this earth, will end. If Jesus is going to come first, or we're going to die and meet Him first. But the coming of the Lord, that is what we're actually ultimately waiting and being patient for. Everything in our lives leads up to a moment where Christ returns or when we meet Him face to face. And so how are you living your life? Patience for that means that everything revolves around what Christ has done for us. Does that make sense? It's not just, I hope I get to heaven, but what does it mean that heaven was secured for me? You cannot think about heaven being secured for you apart from knowing what Christ did upon the cross in His death and resurrection. And so we live patiently waiting, awaiting the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts. What does that mean? It means repent. It means turn back to Him again and again. It means engage Him in His word, in prayer. Grow in Him. You see, it's being active. It's knowing who to go to. It's God who can give to us the reality of that patience and love that we so desire. And to the people who James is writing to, it's a real struggle at this point. It's a real challenge because they're going through oppression. They're going through hard times. And so you can imagine how many of the believers of Christ in that time would have had the temptation to be impatient as they saw people who do not know the Lord prospering in this world, becoming rich and wealthy and oppressing them. How much there must have been a temptation to say, what's the point of waiting for the Lord when this life sucks? Nothing ever seems to be going right. Everything seems to be going wrong. What's the point of being patient? And then James says, look, what are you being patient for? Are you simply being patient that you are going to be out of the circumstances of the things that you're going through right now? Is that your ultimate patience? Is your patience that you're going to get something in this world that you were really hoping for until you finally get it, and that's your patience? No, your patience, true patience, is patience awaiting the coming of the Lord, an eternal thing that lasts forever. And so it is a rebuke. It's saying establish your hearts on the right thing. Because when it's not established on the gospel of the truth of Jesus Christ, you're going to be impatient. You're going to grumble in your heart against the world, against one another, even in the church. And he says, don't do that. Don't grumble against the brothers. So know the source of true patience. Be active in patience and know what you're being patient for. Endless glory, peace, love, joy together with God in heaven. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to respond in prayer. What have you been impatient about these days? What has caused you to be impatient these days? What is it that you are wanting so badly and you're not getting it, and so you're upset, you're impatient, you're grumbling in your heart? God knows your heart, and he does care. He doesn't say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're being impatient with that. He cares for you, and he cares for your wants and even your desires. But he's asking you, will you be patient as you await me? Will you come to me and receive true patience, true love that this world cannot give to you? He's saying, will you be active? Will you seek my truth, my promises for your life? So will you do that? Just take one moment to pray, and then I'll close us. Just pray and say, God, I need your patience. I need true patience. Because I have been grumbling and complaining in my heart against the circumstances of life, against brothers and sisters in Christ, against my family, against anyone, because I'm just so dissatisfied. I'm not getting what I want. Just be honest with him. And he'll say, come to me and let me give you the true patience, the true love and peace. And it's not going to be easy always, especially in the midst of difficult circumstances, but he will change you from the inside out. And believe me, when you're waiting on the Lord, there's no time to be impatient about all these other things, because everything is centered around him, your relationship with him. So just take one more moment, and then I'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again so much. I pray, God, that you would give us true patience that can only be found in you. May we be brothers and sisters in Christ who, as we wait on you, that we be active in our faith, that we live out our faith each and every day. And would you strengthen us again and again? Grow in us your patience and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.